Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patriotic Weekly Review, episode number 68. And we are here tonight with special guests, the host of Patriotic Talk. And I'm really, really looking forward to this show. It is long overdue. It's going to be a big one. But before we get started, I've got to go through the usual business and other bits and pieces. The first thing is, we are live on DLive. This is our new home. We are no longer on YouTube. More and more people are losing their YouTube channels by the day. Mine is basically shut down now. There's no videos there. It's just one little video redirecting people to DLive and also to BitChute. But we lost a big name today, a real friend of this show. He's been on the show twice. He appeared just a few weeks ago, Vincent James of the Red Elephants. We'll be talking about that in a minute. We are also live on RadioAlbion.com. That is the website of Sven Longshanks. He's a good friend of mine. He's a fantastic nationalist, a real pillar of this community. He helps out with the conferences, and his website is absolutely excellent. If you're ever starved of nationalist material, Radio Albion is a treasure trove of top quality content. Make sure you have RadioAlbion.com bookmarked. Visit it regularly. It is fantastic. The guy deserves your support. Now, I briefly mentioned YouTube. Well, we're not on YouTube. So where can you find the show if you miss a show? All of the shows, every single last episode of PWR can be found on my BitChute, as can my weekly videos or replays of any other irregular live shows. Please go and sub my BitChute. Please share the BitChute links. Please go and support me over there. It's hard building up your audience again, especially when you have to do it on a platform that isn't as large. Your support is appreciated. And talking of weekly videos, I do not have a video this week. Why, you may ask? Am I finally having a week off after producing videos every week since 2016? The answer is no. We have a special live show on Friday night with Laura Towler, and I'll be going into that in a minute. Now, if you would like to contribute to the show, please contribute via Entropy. Now, the Entropy link is on my Twitter. It is also on my Telegram, and I am going to pop it into the live chat now. So please use Entropy. Entropy allows you to send super chats. It allows you to make financial contributions via super chats. All comments or questions that are attached to a financial contribution are read out live on air. So if you would like to contribute, if you'd like to help to our costs, that would be absolutely phenomenal. You can also ask non-paid questions, and they are voted upon. The best questions rise up. The worst questions go to the bottom, and we ask the best questions every single week. You can also donate to me personally via Bitcoin. My Bitcoin address is on my BitChute. Or you can email me at mark@thefallofwesternman.com to donate via bank transfer, or if you wish to have my Bitcoin address, or if you just wish to speak to me or send me any ideas or comments. And that is a case where I always reply to all emails unless they are just links or circulars. So that is mark@thefallofwesternman.com. Now, before we get into the show, tomorrow at 9 a.m. UK time, that is 9 a.m. UK time, myself and Laura have a major Patriotic Alternative announcement. It will be big. So be checking our Twitter, be checking our Facebook. That is 9 a.m. UK time tomorrow. A massive Patriotic Alternative announcement. Not many people know what it's about, but all will be made clear tomorrow. We are not discussing it now, but all will be made clear tomorrow. And myself and Laura will be discussing it in depth on Friday evening at 7 p.m. UK time. That is why there is no weekly video for me. There will be a special announcement tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. UK time, followed by a full explanation on a Friday evening at 7 p.m. UK time here on this very channel. Now, before we get into the show, we are going to talk about it a little bit. Vincent James has been deplatformed from YouTube. Please, if you haven't subscribed to him on BitChute, if you haven't followed him on Telegram, if you're not following him on DLive, make sure you do. He deserves our support. Now, before we go over to the Patriotic Talk, guys, Jason, what have you been up to this week, my friend? And will there be an after party? And if so, who's on tap?
There's always going to be an after party. It is absolutely magnificent. A big hello to the Patriotic Talk team. Very excited to be with you all here today. Hello from the shooting gallery, formerly known as the United States of America. We are going to have a tap tomorrow, 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, and we're going to be with the one and only James Edwards, a political cesspool fame, 13 plus years on the radio in the United States, advancing white well-being. Very proud to be able to talk to him and keeping with the tradition we've been moving with for the past few weeks. I would like to bring everybody's attention to one of our fellow content creators by the name of Tall Kevin over on Twitter. Check him out. I will drop the link in the live chat during the show, and I will pass it back so we can get started.
Okay. Well, it is time to introduce our special guests, the hosts of Patriotic Talk. Now, these guys are not just a node in our community. They have become a central pillar of our community and have quickly ascended to the level of being the second most widely watched show every single week in the nationalist sphere. These guys produce excellent content. And of course, all of this came initially from Chris. Both myself and Laura talked to Chris before Christmas last year. Chris was originally the host of TR Talks, and he supported Tommy Robinson. And we spoke to Chris, and Chris was very honest. He was very open. He wanted to build bridges between the two communities. He wanted to find out what we were really about. And when we spoke to him, he quickly realized that the only way is ethno-nationalism. And Chris faced a huge amount of flak, a huge amount of abuse. He was attacked. His good name was besmirched. His former so-called friends, or some of them, turned on him and said the most disgusting things about him. But a credit to this amazing guy, he stuck with it. He stuck with it. He rebranded his show, and he turned it into something which is, as I said, one of the biggest and best shows in this community. It's a show I love going on, and he now is joined by these two amazing guys, Natty and Charlie. Now, I've met Natty in real life. I've met Chris in real life. I'm yet to meet Charlie in real life, but these guys are absolutely sterling fellas. They do amazing work, and I don't know what we'd do without these guys now. I love their shows. I love their humor. I love the quizzes they do in their shows. They bring a real different flavor. And when you go on there, it's so laid back. It's so fun. It's so different to anything else out there. So guys, please, you do amazing work. It's been long overdue you coming on this show. Please take it some time to introduce yourselves. Tell the audience what you're about if they don't already know you, and tell us where we can find you and how we can contribute to your amazing work.
Hello guys. Oh yeah, I think I should start, as I employ Natty and Charlie. Some good shekels as well. But yeah, thanks Mark for having me on the second best show. Of course, the first best show is Patriotic Talk, which you can catch on Monday nights, 7 till 9. And also we have an extra show starting on Monday, which will be DOA hosting the extra show. So there's me plugging that. But yeah, credit to Mark, he brought me over to this side. It's a very difficult December. Of course, when I was in the TR movement, because there were so free speech advocates, they kept trying to censor people coming in to ask about the JQ. That left me confused. So, and then I got directed to Laura's videos. I thought that's spot on. I interviewed her, and I thought, yeah, well, I think it got put as a debate. So some people, it was never going to be a debate because I watched all the videos and agreed on it. But I didn't realize the Tommy crowd was so against that kind of speaking points of the demographics. They obviously just blame all the Muslims and whatnot. Then I spoke to you, and that's when the heat really turned up, and a few notches, a few death threats, and yeah, a few lies made about me. But we gathered together. Charlie and I had some differences at the start as well, but in good manner. He was always an ethno-nationalist, and he was speaking to me about a few things, mainly about the JQ. And yeah, I thought it would be good to get a good show set up, a weekly show. Me and Charlie set up. Madfaz also came in and done great work. And we found Natty along the lines with when we started the griping. I know not everyone's keen on the griping, but they're a bit of fun, entertainment, and also putting our talking points across into the mainstream. Originally, we was going to attend events, but because of Corona, we were stuck in our home. So we opted for the radio target instead. But of course, Harry from True Kate managed to get one griping. But yeah, thank you for having me on the show, Mark. Nice to speak to you as well, Jason. I will hand it over. And also, massive big up to everyone in the chat watching tonight.
Hello, Chris's co-host, Charlie Big Potatoes. And yeah, just to follow up on what Chris was saying there, we started basically, me and Chris, arguing with each other. I think that's how it started. I DM'd him and said, why have you just kicked me out of your Tommy Robinson groups? And it went from there, basically. But yeah, he's the difference between Chris and a lot of people that I've come across on Telegram and in those circles, the Civic Nationalist circles, is Chris was actually there for the truth. Chris was there to listen, and he wasn't just there to stamp down what he was told. He had an open mind. So I think that's why we got on so well to begin with. And all it took was just asking questions and just pointing out the obvious flaws in what Chris was being asked to do. Chris was being asked to, he was the owner of a channel with, I think it was 3,000 people subscribed to it on Telegram. And he was being asked constantly to censor any talk of Zionism, censor any talk of the JQ, anything to do with Israel was out of bounds, anything to do with any of that side of the ethno-nationalism was completely off limits. So I just literally prodded Chris and kept prodding him. Why are you being told you can't say this? Why are you being told to kick those people out the group? Why are you continually being told things about the Jews that you aren't allowed to speak about? Why is that? And Chris, being the good guy that he is, mate, he's seen it for what it was, and understood that there was a game being played and there was a definite narrative being pushed. Because it's not easy to see. I mean, I understand a lot of people are still stuck in that playpen, for lack of a better word. But a lot of people are still stuck there, and it's not easy to see. But when you see what you're literally not allowed to speak about and what's completely off limits, then that's when you can start to understand the game that's being played. But yeah, me and Chris were at first, we were at loggerheads. Then we started speaking, and now we're good friends. We're really great friends. I consider Chris one of my better mates. But we just need to get him a better microphone for the show, get him a better internet connection so he stops cutting out. And I think we might actually have a decent show at some point.
Mate, sorry, that's for entertainment purposes. We will have a sound night tonight. That's just for our show. That's
yeah, of course.
Every
it's not just for the show. This guy has got the we used to say like potato level sort of technology, and Chris has a potato level internet connection, not just on the show, but when he's playing Call of Duty, anything. This guy can disconnect at any given moment.
Mark, does that not prove that I didn't take the shekel though?
What shekel?
Well, the shekel's off of them.
Yeah, you definitely haven't been paid. Could have bought some shelf better internet. Could have got that exactly. 10 minutes.
I should have stayed on that team, shouldn't I? Sorry.
Someone needs to give him 30 bags of silver. Yeah, well, I'm quite disappointed. You know, as the last white ginger person coming out of Birmingham, maybe I can forgive him. But Chris has completely forgotten to plug his own show on Thursday night, the Groy Parade Show. Now, if Chris is in charge here, and Charlie's the one who's got the knowledge on the some of the more esoteric things we talk about, I'm the kind of low IQ internet spurg who runs these raids and gripes radio stations and does the rest of it, which I'm happy to be the junior partner in. And the moment I rang up LBC or Talk Radio for the first time, it was Chris who reached out to me, and with his boundless energy that he has and his charming Brummy ways, pulled me into Telegram and pulled me into his gravitational field. And I started speaking to Charlie and Madfires and Chris and the rest of you. And I've met everyone, you know, since coming forward from there. And it's been a great time. So if you've been listening to the Thursday night shows and the Monday night shows, then I'm sure you know about what we do. But it's good fun, and I'm glad to be here. So thank you all for having me.
It's an absolute pleasure, mate. And I've obviously met you in real life, and you're a real live wire. It's always fantastic having you at an event. And we spent quite a bit of time when we did the hike around the Peak District and went up to the top of Man Tor and did the White Lives Matter banner. And it really is a pleasure. When you meet people in real life, it really does break down those barriers. And you see so much petty internet drama between people who've never met. You never see their face. They're too cowardly to ever use their real name. But that doesn't happen when you meet, or it happens a lot less regularly when you meet people in real life. And meeting Natty and Chris has been absolutely fantastic. And I really am looking forward to events later in the year, because being around you guys in real life is even better than doing shows with you. So thank you so much for being here, all three of you. Now, before we get into some of the big topics we want to speak about, not that this isn't big, but it's a little bit of a black pill. Vincent James, who is a really, really good friend of this show, he's been on the show twice. He draws fantastic numbers. He does amazing work. He's a great family guy. He has unfortunately today lost a YouTube channel with about 250,000 subs. Now, that's the Red Elephant. And I think this isn't just about ethno-nationalism. I think a lot of this is about shutting down anyone who might support Trump before November. And obviously, Vincent's paid the price. He's gone down. So you guys have also lost your YouTube channel. Tell us a bit about how you feel. And have you got any words, the three of you, have you got any words for, and obviously you as well, Jason, you've lost channels in the past. Have you got any words for Vincent James tonight? And I hope our audience will go on to support him.
Do you want to go,
Natty? Yeah, I'll just say, I listened to a debate between Vince James and Nick Ricater on the Killstream about the legality of porn and whether it should be banned. And Nick Ricater's argument was basically, oh, we can't do it, it's too difficult, you'll never get America to do it. And Vincent's position reminded me of the kind of the way we have to speak on this side of things, where everything, it seems like everything is arrayed against us, but you've got these lone voices who are standing up and gradually bringing people to their cause and making enough noise to that people around you start hearing you and their ears start pricking up. So it's a shame he's gone from YouTube. I'm amazed that he's lasted this long. And apparently he's one of the last on a long list that the ADL published a little while back, who have all been removed from YouTube, which is very interesting or instructive. Or if you've been paying attention at all, it's just par for the course. So, yeah, that's what I've got to say about it.
All right, Mark, yeah. All right, so, obviously, unfortunately, he's lost his channel, but I think everyone needs to be prepared to lose their channels. I know there's so many upcoming nationalists now that has channels, and I think these guys, if you're all listening, take my advice. You won't grow too massive these days. You need to get prepared on DLive. I first lost my channel 7,500. You know, I grew it for a year and a half. It is disappointing, but you have to find alternative platforms. DLive has been fantastic so far. We've been able to do our normal shows, a bit more spicier as well. Our viewing figures have gone through the roof. So I think YouTube shadow banned you as well. So I think you need to, everyone that's on YouTube, you need to prepare for life after YouTube, and I think DLive at the moment anyway is the place to be. But of course, you also need to fix up IRL meets in the real world. Obviously, me, Mark, Natty, I've met Jason, so I haven't met Charlie yet, all the way, because he's all the way in Israel. I refuse to go there. honestly, you need to try and build up your local communities. If you can get into a national community, please do get people's phone numbers. So, because I think we will get kicked off DLive in the next few years. I'll sole focusly on this. But DLive at the moment is really working wonders for a lot of nationalists across the planet. But yeah, that's my thoughts.
Yep, spot on. I just want to follow up with what Chris was going to say. It's all very well and good. I mean, we do need to get off YouTube. It's had its day. We've done the damage we can, but now it's time to move off it. But above and beyond that is the in real life communities, and that's why things like Patriotic Alternative and anything else in real life, you just need to form the bonds in real life and get the communities together before they completely take us off the internet and we are literally scattered to the wind. So if while we can use what the tools that we have to form the communities and make the in real life connections, best way.
I'll add just quickly a couple things, and that is that if the Democrats in the United States, who right now are pushing, of course, to win the presidency, have bills in place and treaties that they promised to sign that will absolutely radically transform our ability to serve white well-being in the United States, potentially removing us instantly. The Biden plan, the HEROES Act, Way Forward Act, all of this. So these individuals who are admonishing the public to not vote for Trump and or the crazy thing to do, which would be to vote for Biden, that would put an end immediately to the service to white well-being. When it comes, my heart goes out to Vince. He's doing a lot of work. We know exactly what this is like. I've lost channels. I've been censored. I'm censored from a platform at least once every 3 to 4 weeks. I lose another platform. And for a long time, I kept my promise of joining 2 more platforms every time they censored me from one. So now I have this massive allotment of channels and platforms that I'm on. This is a way to deter anti-whites, but ultimately you need to keep aware, if you are a content creator, and this is a piece of advice I will give and then I'll pass it back, you need to be well aware of a couple things when you are on one of their platforms, one of the anti-white platforms, and that is, number one, when there is an incident that occurs, like when these riotous destructive activities, these militaristic anti-white groups across the cities of the United States. When something like this occurs, there's always a darling group of the moment. Never criticize the darling group of the moment. You can allude to them, you can speak about them generally, but if you say their specific name, the anti-whites are all going to pour in and they're going to get rid of you. So, of course, in this case, it is Black Lives Matter. There is the other case now that we have coming up to the election, where the anti-whites want to control the narrative. So that means that even though these riots and the destruction of Western civilization are taking place, and it's widespread, 500 plus cities total, 60 cities at one time were having fires every single night, and who knows what that number is now, they don't want the rest of America, the rest of voting America, to realize that this is taking place. All of these white families that blue collar, that think that Democrats still care about the working man. I know, how can they be that deluded? But they do. There are so many millions of them. They have no idea what's going on. They turn on CNN and MSNBC and the rest, and they're telling them that these are just peaceful protests, and they're showing videos of like daytime where they have a handful of people that are walking along saying, please just care about this group. And then they don't say another word. In fact, they have said at the Democrat convention and in speeches that all of these claims that there are destruction and fires and whole city blocks being burned to the ground and city blocks being taken over and given by Democrat mayors and governors to these radical anti-whites, that this is all just fiction that the Republicans are spreading to scare people out of voting for the Democrats. Well, if you are going to do, regrettably, like Vincent did, and this is potentially, you have to be creative when you're on these platforms. If you're going to do something like this, you're going to talk to people about these things happening, you have to be creative. And perhaps at his level, it wouldn't have mattered. Perhaps with as many fans as he had, it wouldn't have mattered. They're going to have human beings looking at all of his videos, seeing the impact he's having on the awareness of what's taking place, and then taking action. But most of us who are making content, you're not going to have an audience that size. So what ends up happening with you is, same thing with me, is that they just have artificial intelligence that's listening. And the artificial intelligence is going to be giving points either to or for or against you over the course of the stream. So all you have to do is counteract this sort of thing by every now and again saying, well, of course we hate Trump, which would be the exact opposite. If you advocated voting for Trump, for example, of course we hate Trump. The AI hears that and is going to give a score, and it will determine then whether or not it's going to push that into the face of some human being in Bangladesh or wherever they're located to make a decision about whether or not you should be allowed to have freedom of speech in your Western country. So those are just some tips. Feel bad about Vincent. I hope we've seen before where big channels have gotten their channel back by protesting. I guess there's a slim chance of that, but if not, then yeah, let's follow him on over to DLive and BitChute, and as Mark said, and I pass it back.
Okay, we'll go on to the first news story today, and this one's actually about Patriotic Alternative. So this might shock you. Now, there is this group called Alt News Media. You might have heard of them. Apparently, a guy is involved with them called David Vance. I've always been a bit suspicious of him, but they've just done a big attack piece on Patriotic Alternative. New opinion piece from guest author Mandy Baldwin on Patriotic Alternatism, Extremism, and Nazism. Now, before we go into the article to have a quick look at it, it's clear it's getting completely ratioed and mocked. So if you are on Twitter, please feel free to mock David Vance, Alt News Media, and their attack piece. But this is a very interesting Twitter account because it's actually got quite a lot of followers but doesn't seem to get many retweets at all. But interestingly, part of their attack on Patriotic Alternative is that our plan calls for a return of the death penalty. This apparently, according to Alt News Media, is absolutely disgusting, which seems really strange because their top tweet, their pinned tweet is, would you like to see the death penalty for Hashem Abedi, or are you happy with the 55 years? And 85.6% of their readers have said hang him high. So obviously 85.6% of their own supporters agree with Patriotic Alternative on the death penalty, which is very strange because they've written this rather hate-filled article about us. Now, the title of the article, there's my, you can see, you can't see me in the picture because I'm so tiny in real life that I don't actually get into the photo. So there you have it. That's the joke. I'm really small. Look, my head just disappears straight away. You can see the girl's head. Look, look, see her eyes, her forehead. You know, not me, just see a little sprout of hair because I'm only about 5'2". You scroll down into this amazing article, which is called If You Love Corbyn, You Will Love Patriotic Alternative. Because, I mean, obviously, everything that we have modeled Patriotic Alternative on is basically Jeremy Corbyn's ideal Britain. And this is just the most scandalous article that I've ever, ever seen. Apparently, Patriotic Alternative are so obsessed with race that they assume every white person to be a patriot. This is nonsense. I mean, it actually sounds like it was written by a five-year-old. If anyone can tell me who this Mandy Baldwin is, I would absolutely love to see a picture. So you can read this at your own leisure. It's one of the worst written articles I've ever seen. It's being absolutely ratioed. But if you ever did support Alt News Media in the past, please cancel any of your direct debits or any of your donations. Don't donate a penny to these people. They are absolutely, this article is just trash. It's being completely ratioed on Twitter. Let them know what you think. And please do not support them financially anymore. And make sure you tell all your friends, etc., not to support them. And look, there's my hair again. Because as aforementioned, I don't even get in the picture. What a wonderfully coded and well-designed website. So there you have it. Would any of you guys like to comment on this particular article before we move on? We don't want to spend a lot of the show talking about it, but if anyone's got any quick takes, please tell us what you think.
Yeah, I'm just going to remain positive. I think it's fantastic they keep writing these articles about us. First and foremost, being compared as if we're like in line with Jeremy Corbyn's views. I think he might have spoke about that country I mentioned Charlie's from, Israel. So I suppose that's probably the only thing we have in common. He wants to flood our nation with non-Europeans, and yeah, he wants to play a part with the replacement of our people. So I don't see how we can align to him whatsoever. I just think it's fantastic, though. Every article I see like this, even if it's written, looks like it's written by a five-year-old, or if it's looks maturely written, it's doing us huge favours because it tends to then get people searching. They're basically griping themselves. This is what we do. We go on the radio stations and we push our talking points, but they're doing it for us. So the gripers can actually relax for a bit because they're writing all these articles on us that's doing us huge favours. You look at the comment section, it's full of support. I'm sorry to change the subject a little bit, but Gerard Batten done something similar the other day, done a poll as well. And it was 59, 60% in our favour of about 12,000 people. Might be wrong. I don't know, but it was around that figure. And I just think PA are certainly rising at the moment. And I know there's a few people that want to try and dig at us. Well, you go and do better then, because we are succeeding. We're the ones being written about, from civic nationalists to hardcore leftists. We're the one that everyone is fearing at the moment. So, yeah, I see it as a huge white pill at the moment. I'll hand it over.
Well, there's two things that are going to run in parallel, and that is PA's stratospheric rise and ascendance, and the amount of snivelling rats, like the person who wrote this article, crawling out of the woodwork, trying to gain clout and say things against us. So this is going to happen more and more. Gerard Batten has kind of nailed his colours to the mast. Now, alt media and David Vance, it says, you know, it's not the views of alt media, but, you know, they're happy to publish this ridiculous article. We're just going to see more of it. And take it as a good sign, ladies and gentlemen. We are on the rise.
Yeah, just a quick one, Mark. Are you really short or is she really tall?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think she was about 6 foot tall, and she was wearing very big heels that night. So that legitimately did put her at about a foot taller than me. So
I'll go on then, I'll let you off. Not a manly.
My height is 5'10". People who've met me in real life know that I am. I'm not actually a dwarf.
That's borderline manly, that, unfortunately. But they keep shining their own death warrants. They can't help talking about Patriotic Alternative. Carry on. The more you talk about it, the more people are going to hear it, and the wider the reach is. So keep doing what you do. Everyone here is happy. That's all I have to say.
Anything to add, Jason, or are we moving on?
I don't know. Does my mic sound any better? First of all,
we can't hear that giant industrial fan that you have in the background anymore. If that's what you...
Okay. Well, I fixed the mic then. Yeah. I mean, this is we want articles to be written. I'll just say, echoing what Charlie said, we want articles to be written, and of course, if the publications are anti-white, we want them to be saying the worst things about us. It's the best way for people to realize where to go to get the proper information. There was a great man that said, if you don't find yourself slandered in the previous in the headlines of a newspaper, you haven't been busy the previous day. And so it's work well done. I pass it back.
Thank you. Well, obviously, one of the big things that we have to talk about, especially because this is a British show and we've got four Brits on the panel tonight, is Last Night of the Proms. Now, Last Night of the Proms is a British institution. It's a place, it's something that people like. It's a big show of patriotism. And this year, the BBC have said that they are not going to be singing the words to Rule Britannia. And is it Land of Hope and Glory as well?
Yes, yes, it is.
Yeah, the two songs. They're not going to be singing the words to those this year. And there's been this huge explosion of anger from people on our side of the fence. But there's also been a lot of celebration from people on the other side of the fence who want to basically erase this part of history, saying these are a huge celebration of colonialism, they're a celebration of slavery, they tie us to a colonial past, and essentially they are, I think the term these days is covert racism. Now, there's a couple of things that I think is interesting about this. Firstly, Last Night of the Proms isn't really the kind of event that is attended en masse by ethno-nationalists. It's the kind of event that very well-to-do people attend so they can wave a little plastic flag furiously, sing Land of Hope and Glory, and convince themselves that by doing that, Britain is still the kind of place they want to live. And although I don't want these songs to disappear down the memory hole, I certainly don't want our history to disappear down the memory hole, I sometimes wonder whether things like this are actually a good thing, because usually when this kind of anti-white rhetoric is pushed, it's pushed upon people lower down the food chain in society. It's pushed upon your working class people, your middle class people. But generally, Last Night of the Proms is attended by very upper class people, by people who can usually buy themselves away from the multiculturalism. They can buy their way out of the nonsense. They use their financial clout to ensure their kids don't go to the kind of schools where multiculturalism is pushed. They don't have to, even if they live in a multicultural city like London, they live in a gated community with their own security guards. And I think this might be an interesting thing, because for once, people who are usually above having their heels nipped by the multicultural beast are having something they enjoy tarnished by the political correctness that they often fund or turn a blind eye to when it hurts other people. But I was very interested in the kind of response this received, and the response it received from the so-called right-wing press. And I think this is very interesting. It's going to be a good jumping off point for the discussion from here on in, because I found this very, very interesting. Now, the Daily Mail are obviously very upset that they're not singing this, and the Daily Mail have to be seen to be holding the line. So who did the Daily Mail pick to fight for the lyrics to be sung? They picked this woman here. What do you notice about this?
She's really, really attractive for a start. I mean, she looks like Harvey Price's dad, to be honest.
Well, her name is Inaya Falarin Iman. Sounds like a really old English name, that one, doesn't it? And the thing I noticed about this was this is the person that the Daily Mail picked to fight for Land of Hope and Glory and Rule Britannia to be sung at the proms. And that's a very interesting choice. It's a very interesting choice because I think it's now fair to say that you're not allowed to take an openly patriotic or nationalistic point of view if you're white. They didn't pick a white person to defend this. The Daily Mail didn't say, what does the white majority think about these songs slowly being airbrushed out of our history? The Daily Mail went to a black woman because they knew if they picked the black woman to defend it, they themselves wouldn't be tarnished with the word racism. And that's amazing, isn't it? We're not even allowed to stick up for ourselves now. We're not even allowed to defend our own history. We now have to sit or take a back seat and watch the skintellectuals, as they're known, the black anti-whites, fight with the blacks who think it's okay for us to keep a song. And we've just got to sit there and root for the blacks that aren't totally calling for our destruction. And I think that's a very telling point. I don't know if anyone else picked that up, but what does the panel think about this? And does the panel think that the fact they're attacking something that is generally enjoyed by much more wealthy members of society, if this will cause any of those people who are so hesitant to speak out against issues we talk about to finally think about getting off the fence? We'll go around the group.
Well, firstly, it's exactly the same as why the Conservatives run a mayoral candidate who is a jogger who looks like a beluga whale. It's the same thing. They know that people separate along racial lines. It's why UKIP did the same thing for their candidates in inner city London boroughs. This is what's going to happen. It's racial for everyone else, but it's not racial for us. And secondly, yes, England is a small place. The less places the middle class, the upper middle class have to hide from this stuff, the better, as far as I'm concerned. And all this outrage you see from kind of old boomers who up till this point, up until very recently, have had the money to escape and give to their kids and pass on nice houses in the country. Now there's nowhere left to hide. This country's only 800 miles long. There's only so many joggers and Arabs and God knows who you can pack in here before they start standing on your doorstep. So I'm quite happy. I'm quite happy that the BBC have done it. I'm an accelerationist in some regards, but yeah, on this one, right on.
All right, yeah, I love my little take on it. Again, it's in a way. I mean, obviously, we don't want it to be banned, or we don't want the lyrics to take away. But this helps wake up more normies on things. What is going on? They're trying to take our statues down. They're trying to take patriotic songs off a program that has been on from the 1920s. It's and also just want to add on. Land of Hope and Glory was once sung by Rick Mayall on an episode of Bottom. May he rest in peace. That brings me great memories of that. And they're trying to destroy our comedy. They've tried to take episodes of Fawlty Towers down. I actually remember Bottom, the series 4 was meant to be due, but the BBC turned it down. And I think that's when it was coming to the height of migrants coming in and political censorship and political correctness, rather, was coming in. And I don't know if I can swear on here, Mark.
No, you can't.
So this was not said by me. I'm not going to say it then. Labour, Neil Coyle has said Royal Britannia is only liked by the S word and called Brexiteers, S word, racist, W word. So that was not going to be my words anyway. But I thought it'd be courteous enough to ask. And I just think they actually want Royal Britannia to be gone anyway, because at the moment, apart from guys, of course, that are making a stand, unfortunately, the British people are becoming slaves to whatever the government and the system want you to believe in at the moment. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a class issue going on here, because I've never seen the Proms, not once. So I'm sorry, but I can imagine you sat at home, Chris, with your little England flag, you know, loving life, watching the Proms and all these songs and that. And yourself, Natty.
Oh, I was singing Oh Tommy Tommy.
Not even a line. But I've never seen it, unfortunately. So I don't think we're missing anything too great. It reminds me of it's just another encroachment into a different echelon of society that's up till now had its they've escaped the political correctness. But it reminds me of a story a while ago. My friend is a scout for Liverpool, and he said to me that one day they had a meeting, and in the meeting he said to him, right, we want to put BAME footballers forward. And only BAME footballers forward from this day on. He said, this is like the manager of the scouts. And my mate said, well, I've got 7 footballers on my books, young lads, and 5 of them are white. What do you want me to do with them? And the fella said, we don't want them. It's that simple. He said, get rid of them. So my mate said, well, 2 minutes, mate. He said, out of the 7 people on my books, the 2 best are white. And one of them is looking to be the next Ronaldo. So what do you want me to do with him? He went, mate, drop it. Get rid of it. We don't want these people if they are white. We are pushing BAME footballers from now on. And this was at Liverpool. I mean, I'm not going to name the guy, but, you know, he won't mind me saying the club. But I sent him a load of laughing faces back when he was in a voice note. I sent him a load of laughing faces back, and he said, no, it's bad. This is bad. I said, mate, it's been bad for years. I said, the difference is now yous are going to feel it, because we've been feeling it for years. We've been noticing this encroachment into our life, because we've been looking, and we know the places to look. You know, you've got your media outlets, your news, and Netflix and all these other abhorrent companies that push this abhorrent stuff on us and our people. But you have so far come out unscathed, the football crowd. You've still got your little... back in them days, you still had Steven Gerrard, and you still had your Robbie Fowler of the day, and you know, you had players from your own town playing for your own club. Now, I mean, these people are just mercenaries, and you don't know who. I mean, I couldn't name a single Liverpool football player now. I mean, I'm not big into football as it is, but these people are just how am I supposed to relate to these people? They're nothing to do with my town, nothing to do with my city, nothing to do with my club. So unfortunately, I said to them, I said, I'm absolutely made up, and it's about time that people started feeling it, because it's been us that's been feeling it for years. I'm glad you're going to start feeling it. So shame for the Toffs. If the Toffs are going to have a little, you know, if they're going to feel it with the old, if they're not going to be able to sit there overnight and sing Rule Britannia or whatever else it is with the little England flags, then my heart bleeds for you. But it's about time you woke up and seen what the writing on the wall.
Well said. Yeah, we need to make sure that the white people who are anti-white and able to escape all of the ramifications of anti-whiteism end up suffering the consequences, as we have suffered the consequences in all of our communities. And that speaks to what we had when the issue we had when the company went after Laura Towler, and I then promoted them as a white positive activist, as they as my favorite tea, and then tweeted all of the anti-white groups that I could in their area to let them know that, wow, their executives are mighty white, not very many non-white people in there. So they're keen to keep hold of their 6 and 7 figure salaries. And so if we can make them suffer every time they want to make us suffer, if they want a villainy signal, then it'll put an end to their villainy signaling when it comes to us. A couple of things I just want to say quickly. The reason why we end up with a non-white person as the titular head of a conservative movement stems from a faulty understanding of anti-white motivations. People think, these conservatives think, that the pretexts that the anti-whites give us are true. And here there's a host of meme pathogens associated with non-white people being special, their emotions being deeper, their suffering being longer, their everything just being more so than the white race. And as a consequence, we also learn that everything they have to say is very important. So conservatives end up thinking, because they're taking these pretexts at face value, believing that anti-whites are motivated by these things rather than the true animus they hold for Western kind and the desire to inflict harm on us and Western civilization, they end up thinking, well, if a non-white person then shares our opinions, well, now we're legitimate, because somebody who is special, somebody who's been long suffering, they also think the same way we do. And so now we'll get some credibility. Then they are shocked to find out that no, they don't get any credibility. In fact, the non-white people end up being called the same sort of anti-white slurs that we get called. They end up getting called things like Nazi, and but sometimes they have some special slurs for these particular non-white groups that stand up for positions that might directly or indirectly benefit the white race. And then these conservatives, in every single case, for the totality of all of our lives, walk away saying, well, golly, how can they call a black person a Nazi? These leftists, these progressives, they don't know what they're doing. They make no sense whatsoever. Well, it makes perfect sense if you get your head out of your rear and you understand that it's not about black people or other non-white people being special or long-suffering or having something valuable to say or any of that sort of garbage. It has everything to do with victimizing you and Western civilization. And that is the method by which they are doing it until it inhibits their ability to do it. At the moment it inhibits their ability to do that, they then say, well, that particular person or that group of people are no good. They're just a bunch of Nazis, even though they are non-white. So that's why we have to understand that it's okay to understand hypocrisy at a superficial level. But at some point, when you dig down deep enough, you realize the anti-whites are not hypocrites whatsoever. Everything they do is geared to victimize us. And if that means they have to, in the same breath, argue two contradictory positions, they will, and they will do it without any shame whatsoever. So I'll pass it back.
Thank you. Well, there's one other big news story that I want to talk about tonight before we go and do some super chats and some questions from the audience. Remember, if you want to send super chats, if you want to ask questions for the audience, I've just dropped the link in the chat there. Now I'm going to do another share screen and we're going to watch a bit of a video. I hope you can all see this. This is the shooting of Jacob Blake in America. I'm sure many people have heard about this. It happened in Kenosha, Wisconsin. And we're going to actually watch the video. Actually, 2 seconds. I'm just going to make sure I've got the share audio on in case there is any audio to this. So here we go. I'm going to give a bit of commentary over it. Now, obviously, somebody's filming it on a potato cam. It's not amazing quality. So here you see the guy. Now, back here, as he comes around the car, you can see in his hand, he does actually have what appears to be a knife. Now, apparently, he had the knife and he stated to the police, this is allegedly, he allegedly stated to the police he was going to his car to get something else. Now, some people are saying he said he was going to get a gun, but this is what he did. The police repeatedly asked him to stop. The police repeatedly told him to stop. So we'll carry on. And there you see the police officer shoot him. I think it was 7 times in the back. The police had repeatedly said, do not go to the car, get on the ground. He went to the car. They tried to restrain him. They tried to pull him back. He reached for something in the car. There on the left-hand side, you can see this woman jumping up and down and screaming as if all this is completely alien to her. Well, if police officers were pointing guns at me and told me to get on the floor, I wouldn't just march to my car and look for a weapon. I'd probably get, well, I would get on the floor.
Wow.
And there you can see them dealing with him, trying to administer medical care. The woman is still screeching and hollering. And that's about the long and short of it. But again, we are seeing something here which is quite clear cut. We are seeing another case of a violent black criminal being arrested, refusing to follow what the police are telling him to do. Armed black criminal, in this case, refusing to follow police directions, refusing to get on the floor, going to his vehicle, the police attempting to stop him going to his vehicle, and him reaching into his vehicle for what appears to be a gun. At that point, the police are given 2 choices. The first is they do nothing. The first is that they allow him to go into his car and get whatever he is attempting to get, which may well be a weapon, or they open fire. Now, if they make the first choice, they put their own lives and the lives of their colleagues at risk, and potentially also the lives of the public who are bystanders at risk. Their second choice leaves them in a situation where, although they've preserved their own life, there will be a riot that follows, and that particular state and that city will be set alight, and maybe the whole of America will be set alight again. And obviously, in the aftermath of this, we have seen exactly that. We have seen America set on fire again, and we have seen more race riots. We've seen violence. We've seen whites being attacked. We've been seen stores being looted, burnt to the ground. And this is 2020. This is a time where if you are a violent criminal and you happen to be black and you resist arrest and the police are forced to either restrain you or open fire, you are immediately promoted to being to sainthood, and an America goes up in flames. Now, what do you guys think of this? Do you think this is waking people up? Do you think this will help Trump? Do you think America is on the brink of some kind of racial civil war? How do you think this is all going to unfold? Because the violence on the streets of Wisconsin has been incredible. There have been other shootings. There have been people who have been attempted to be lynched by the mob, who have opened fire to protect themselves. What are your thoughts on all this, guys?
Yeah, I'll jump in. First of all, I feel for the American people at the moment. I think the police are doing a great job on the circumstances they're under. Of course, they're allowed to use their guns over there. And of course, if he's going in there to reach probably a gun or something else to harm coppers, they've probably taken the right steps. If it was a white male doing exactly the same thing, I don't think we'd be talking about it or hearing about it at all. But I think it's a massive wake-up call to the British people, because I know we have it quite bad, but all the scenes we are seeing in America right now, we're not as bad as that yet, but it will come. And yeah, so I've seen they've even raised about nearly $1 million for the lad that got shot. There's been riots all over Kenosha. There was one man that went out to try and protect his store with a fire extinguisher, just firing it at people. and he got viciously attacked. And on the video, I don't know if everyone's seen that video, that there was black women saying, well, he deserved it because this is happening to black people. I can't remember word for word. But yeah, it's a massive wake-up call to the British on what we can, what we're most likely going to face unless things change. So I do have sympathy with Jason on the show and all the American people right now for having such horrendous rights across their country. Pass it on.
Go on, Charlie, if you got something to say.
Yeah, just a quick one, just for anyone that... I mean, I know there's not going to be many people sympathising with them in our circles, but for anybody, I've had people say to me, oh, you know, they didn't have to shoot him that many times, or they didn't have to shoot him in, you know, why didn't they shoot him in the leg, this, that, the other? I mean, people who use those arguments, because this is all they've got, basically. They've never, ever been in any sort of combat situation. They've never, ever handled a firearm. They've never had somebody in an actual confrontation with somebody where your life is literally in danger. When there's a guy who's literally armed and who could be, if he's got a knife in his hand and he's blatantly told the police he's going to get something out the car, this is just from my personal experience. I was in the British Army. You can't let this person go to where they're about to go. You can't let them take up that other fire position. You can't let them get round that corner, because once they do, it's your neck who's going to be getting stamped on. It's you that's going to be getting the good news. You're going to be the one lying on the floor. It's that simple. You can't allow these people to get to the position that they're trying to get to. If a police officer gives a reasonable instruction, which 99% of the time, let's be honest, it's reasonable, can you step out of the car, please, sir? I mean, normal, healthy people just go, yeah, no problem, what's up? These people just seem to have some sort of aversion to following simple instructions, and then they wonder why they've been shot several times. It's utter madness. But if people are wondering just out there, what, you know, seven times, oh, he shot him in the back, may I be shooting him right in the back 20 times? It wouldn't bother me, because the guy is not going to get what he's going for. If somebody's got their back to you, it's a split second to turn around, and then you're getting the good news, mate. But I feel for these officers, because yet again, what's going to happen is, rinse and repeat, the officers are going to be put on the chopping block, and they're going to get the good news, and they're going to get the sentences, and there's going to be riots, there's going to be murders, there's going to be all kinds of... America, there's only one way it's headed, the same way every other multiracial empire has ever headed. Balkanization. But you know, I hope it doesn't go that way. I genuinely do hope that I'm wrong, but what else is going to happen? This is a weekly occurrence, almost, but unless it's our people on the receiving end. But it is literally a weekly occurrence, so I don't know. I don't want it to go that way, but
I've got to say, like, maybe this is a wrong thing to say, but I'm kind of jealous of America right now, because whatever we are all going to go through, all these European countries, Australia, Canada, South Africa's obviously gone all the way already. America's going through it right now. And the solution to it is obviously going to come about from white people and white Europeans finding their own feet and standing up and doing whatever they need to do to take back control of their own destiny and their own lives. And in America, it's being forced on them before it's going to be forced on all of us. And obviously, we don't want violence in the streets, and we don't want to be turfed out of our homes, and we don't want to lose everything we fought so hard for. But the American people are now being given just a clarion call, like being told, you know, now's the time. You've got to realize what's at stake here. And hopefully more and more Americans do, more and more original Americans, the real Americans I'm talking about here, not the type of Americans who go looting stores and burning down cities and stuff. But the other point is, the narrative is set. It doesn't matter that this guy had a rape charge against a 14-year-old girl. It doesn't matter that he was a criminal. It doesn't matter that he was on drugs or had a gun or was violent. None of that matters. They've got their narrative. It's set. No one cares anymore. The sides have been drawn. The lines in the sand have been drawn. And this is what we're seeing all over America. And we're going to start seeing it in Europe now. Cities in France are absolutely dreadful. Videos and pictures coming out of armed gangs in like kids' play areas, stealing drugs and stuff. it's coming for all of us, and America is just getting there a few years ahead of us.
Well, everybody was right there. I share a lot of the opinions, and I'm right outside of Washington, D.C., so of course we have our issues here and home invasions during the last couple of big destructive attacks on the city and on Western civilization. What you had here with this Blake character is an individual who is a recidivist, a repeat offender. He was, you mentioned, Natty, that he was charged for being a sexual predator of a child, so he's a pedophile. He also has a gun charge, so the police have already had to visit him for the possession of a firearm. He was breaking a restraining order, and that's why the police were there. They had shown up, they had fought with him to arrest him. He was drunk, they were saying. They had also already tased him, and he was he had fought them off, being a big fellow, and he was decided that he was going to go get in his car. And of course, you don't need to have a firearm in the car to get behind the wheel, and the car becomes a ton and a half or two-ton missile that runs over every pedestrian in the street and everything else. And the police officer is not there to protect just the white people who are present, but everyone who happens to be present. He could have gotten in that car and killed everyone driving around with the vehicle. But of course, something that's really interesting is that the police department is not saying that he absolutely did not have a firearm. And that is something really interesting, because if he didn't have a firearm, then the police chief, all of these anti-whites in leadership would have immediately gone to the public and said, well, he didn't have a gun on his car. He was wrongfully shot to death by this white police officer. So they're mute on that point, and we're waiting to see. I think the odds now are that he did have a firearm under the seat or somewhere in the car, and you saw the police officer make a heroic effort, taking his life, and therefore the concerns of his wife, his children, everybody who cares about this guy, all the way up to the actual line of losing his life before he finally took the life of this anti-white, non-white animal who was going to potentially grab a firearm and spin around and kill the police officer, or get behind the wheel of this car, fire it up, and then run people over and kill them with the vehicle. He waited until the very last moment. And somebody who takes seven rounds or whatever it is into somebody's back is not doing it because they're thinking, I just need to wound this guy so that we can try to restrain him. They're thinking, I'm going to die right now. I'm going to die right now unless I stop this bastard from getting into this vehicle or getting that firearm or whatever. So whatever this guy saw, and the police chief and the rest are not saying he saw, is something that he believed was imminent danger to the lives of every single person present, not the least of which was himself. And he probably will, along with the other officer, face significant charges. When it comes down to this, I'll say it quickly and I'll pass it back. In a multiracial environment, when you have people who have power and people don't have power, in every second of every day, you're going to have somebody who is victimizing somebody who does not have power. And that individual who has power victimizing the other is occasionally going to be a white person. So if you live within the anti-white narrative, they have an infinite number of cases to say, our narrative is legitimate, and therefore you should resign yourself, you should lower your defenses, you should accept your position as the ne'er-do-well in our story for all of time so that we can victimize you until you are gone. You have to get out of this narrative and say no more. It doesn't matter what your excuses are. It doesn't matter what examples you give. If it's an anti-white conclusion, I reject it, and you can go straight to hell. And I pass it back.
Hey, hey.
Well, there is some good news about this. I don't know if the people in the chat have seen, but some Antifa turned up to riot and they attacked a man who was attempting to defend his home or was in the street and he had an assault rifle. One of these Antifa goons brought with him his skateboard. I mean, I always find it funny when you have these grown men sort of in their late 20s or early 30s and they're mooching about with their skateboard. Well, anyway, he tried to use his skateboard as a weapon and got his arm blown off by this Chad American with his Armalite rifle. So let's have a little round of applause in the chat for the man who can no longer give a round of applause because his hand is elsewhere. That is fantastic.
I guess a tumbling.
Does anyone have a link to that footage?
A tumbling 5-5-6
Does anyone have a link to
that
footage?
No, I don't know.
Yeah, hold on a second, Mark. I'll give you. Here it.
If you've got a YouTube link or something I can play, we can watch this guy get.
I'll try and send it to you now. I'm sure the chat have got it. This is a Twitter post with potentially slow motion, with a slow motion shot of it. So maybe we can bring that up.
Well, look, I think the motto of the story is, don't bring a skateboard to a gunfight.
Mark, I don't know if you know much about that story. I have watched a video today where there was a guy on the floor. I don't know why he was on the floor. Rioters went to attack him with a rifle, then he defends himself with a pistol, shooting maybe two people with a few running off. I don't know if Jason knows more about that. Or Mark.
That was another shooting. I think there are two dead and one wounded. Because they went after a guy in the streets. I think this might be the video.
This is the video. Yeah, I'm going to play the video. This guy has got a better aim than Barkley on Call of Duty. This is the real life. Mate, you've got a terrible aim. You could be in a tank 100 meters away from these people with some kind of aim assist, and you'd still miss them all. Barkley. The only thing worse than your internet connection is your Call of Duty skills.
Your viewers, my back is really hurting from the moment, all the times I've carried you.
Mate, Chris, you are like the inverted John Wick. You're like the opposite of John Wick. That's how bad you are. You're the mirror image of him. In other words, you can't hit anything. You're slow, you're unwieldy, and you generally get us all killed. Anyway, enough of Chris before I have to mute him. I'm not going to mute you, mate.
I'm part of the cult. I have to stay silent.
Yes. If you want to stay in the cult of PA, Chris, you better start agreeing now. That's just a little in-joke, guys. Here's the vid.
Oh, you love to see it, don't you? I mean, not a single tear was shed on that day.
Look at him slumped there.
Do you know, if you watch that again, what you notice is he's lying on his... So the first guy comes in, takes a round to the chest. Nice. This guy here on the right, the guy doesn't shoot him until he lunges for him again, and then he puts a round through his arm. That is so much restraint. He's on the floor on his back. The guy standing over him, he doesn't pull the trigger, and then as the guy lunges forward, that's when he fires. That is why, in my opinion, I mean, that's completely justified. The fact he's just shot that guy. It wasn't that the guy on top of him was backing away or standing still. He was coming straight for him, as they said in South Park. So he is perfectly legitimate to put those rounds for him. Yeah, I'm big up that guy. He's a hero in my eyes.
I've just got to say, then, I don't think he's meant to get him in the arm there. I don't think that's been it's the best outcome, but I don't think he's aimed for his arm. I think he's just aimed to, you know, he's on the floor, he's half panicked, and he's just gone, boom, and give him the good news. But if the guy's very lucky, that could have landed quite easily in his chest, in his stomach, in his head anyway. But let that be a lesson to you anyway.
I've put the link in the, I've put the link in the live chat as well. So if people want to getting their comeuppance, and That should go in the PA plan, or we should have a PA advice page, and top of the advice is don't bring a skateboard to a gunfight, because it clearly did. God, this is a good show. This is why I love having you guys here. We should have done a quiz in your honor. We should have done a quiz.
Yeah.
Just so you know, we had a Dr. Edward Dutton on last Monday, and we did a quiz, and I actually beat him. So, you know, it's now official in our circles. I am more intelligent than Dr. Edward Dutton.
I dropped out for the last like 5 minutes, so I didn't see the results of the quiz. Where did I come?
Dead last, as usual.
Definitely not. I want to just apologise to Dr. Dutton, because I had the worst connection. I cut out twice during the stream. So, sorry, Edward. My apologies.
Did you have someone from Elle being on Monday?
The stream, we had a week off, but Daughter of Albion will be doing the Patriotic Talk extra show from 9 till 10 after me, Charlie, and that. So it's an extra show we've got on Mondays now. So Daughter of Albion will be on 9 till 10 with two guests. We've got two guests lined up. I'm not going to say who yet in case they drop out, but yeah, so an extra show on Mondays after me, Charlie, and that. If you want to listen to Daughter of Albion's voice rather than a Brummie, a Scouser, and some foreigner from where is it from?
I am representing the Southwest. You know, I'm tired of all these northern scallies like you, Birmingham up north. You know, you've got Scousers like Charlie. We need Southwest representation, and that's what I'm bringing to the circle. And thank God, you know, God bless Cornwall and God bless the Southwest.
Well, we're going to do some super chat now. So. Let's do these super chats. JP gave $10. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, love the show. Keep doing God's work. We will. We have Serena JB gave £3. And she said, I'd be interested to know your opinion on the National Justice Party in the US. Do you think they were inspired by PA? I think they probably were. But I'm hesitant to give any opinion as of yet because I've actually asked Mike Enoch to come on this show next week or sometime very soon in order to discuss the National Justice Party and answer your questions. So I'm not dodging your questions, Serena, but we are hopefully going to give Mike a chance to answer everyone's questions and do a special show on that. So I have messaged him a couple of times. He said he'd like to. I've chased it up. If Mike isn't on the show next week, we will have a couple of guys. I'm going to start doing more shows with smaller content creators from the UK. So it'll be either small content creators from the UK or it'll be Mike Enoch. So hopefully that'll be good for you, Serena, and that will answer your questions from the horse's mouth rather than just us giving a few takes. Junta Mominari gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, the goal of the Frankfurt School is anti-fascism, not communism. Their most well-known work, The Authoritarian Personality, focuses on anti-fascism. Demoralizing and browbeating the racial ethnic majority of a nation is one of the planks of anti-fascism. Thank you. Junta Mominari gave another $5. Thank you very much. And said, Israel can't fit all of the Jewish diaspora, has no real economy, and depends on Zionist agents infiltrating governments around the world to support them. They gain this control through promoting cultural liberalism and the open society ideology of Karl Popper. Thank you very much. Lord Ian A.S. Houston of Hoogan gave $10. Thank you very much. And said, great stream as always. Well, thank you. Daniel Lewis gave £20 and simply said 14. Thank you very much. Damien Demento gave £20. Thank you very much. And said, evening all. With regard to the proms, I believe that each and every action the establishment throws at us is just a testing of the water to measure our reaction. This is why hitting comment sections and downvoting or complaining is great and probably wakes up many or gives them the confidence to join in. Well, thank you very much. I do believe that's true. And I do think we should always use these things to our benefit. You know, we do have huge numbers of people involved now. We do have huge numbers online. I mean, there's nearly 1,800 people watching tonight. You know, if we all go to that alt news media account, we can flood it with PA comments. If we see articles that are anti-white, we can flood the comment sections with, you know, go join PA. This does work. Horace was talking about this on Sunday when I streamed with him, Ayatollah and Laura, and it is a great plan. Shooter McGavin gave $3. Thank you very much. He said, great show, lads. Just one question for Charlie. Have you ever had your biceps felt by Purple Aki? Keep up the great work, Mark. Cheers. That one's for you, Charlie.
Yeah, I think that was directed at me, that one. Yeah, old Purple Aki still doing the rounds after all these years.
He's, is he actually still doing people rounds? Know what he is,
yeah,
is he still around,
still going
Charlie?
In, mate. Still is grabbing he? Muscles as we speak. Yeah.
Are we going to deport him when the time comes? Does he get an honorary place?
No,
he doesn't get an honorary place. I bet no one knows who this is. I'm going to explain this for people. There's a big black guy in Liverpool who was called Purple Aki, and he used to He used to go and grab white guys and ask to fondle or squeeze their biceps or their muscles. It was his fetish. And there was never any evidence of him doing it. And it became sort of like an urban legend in Liverpool that if you were out late at night on your own and you were a white lad, this big black guy would come up to you and try and feel your muscles. And there was never any evidence of it. People reported it to police. No one could ever find anything. There was no footage of him. He never appeared on CCTV. And it went down as like an old wives' tale. And eventually it did turn out to be true. And there was a big black guy going around molesting people and asking to squeeze their muscles. And if you Google Purple Aki, it's one of those really interesting stories of an urban legend, or what was believed to be an urban legend, that turned out to be true. But Charlie has. Can we confirm for the audience you've never been fondled by Purple Aki or any other black guy for that matter?
Well, he asked to fondle me a while ago and said he'd give me a can of Fanta in return, but I haven't seen him since. he's more than urban legend. I mean, and just to set the record straight for anyone out there, he was actually born in Manchester. He's not a Scouser. So yeah, let's just get that out there.
Oh man. This has been brilliant. A fantastic show. We had a crazy show last week. These big panel shows are just so much fun. Marty Morosi gave $3. Thank you very much, my friend. He said, shout out to my man Naz Baz, a.k.a. Charlie Big Potatoes, from his boy Marty and the Albion Massive. Mad calls forever. Mark, would PA ever buy property at some point in the future? There are pros and cons. We would buy property. One thing we would definitely look to buy, actually, is a parcel of land where we could hold camps and outdoor activities without anyone being able to stop us. And actually, a good friend of mine, who I spent a couple of days with recently, has just bought a parcel of land with a barn, some old outbuildings which he's renovated, and there's quite a significant amount of land around there that we can use and we've been offered the use of for free. So, yes, we are working on that, but we already have been given generous offers by people to use their land if we can't find campsites, etc. in the future. So things are going our way. Rory London gave $3 and said, thank you very much. He said, do you think that sometime in the distant future, the dark powers will be defeated once and for all and the Europeans will finally be able to live in peace and harmony? Yeah, I do. I would, regardless of whether I thought we were going to win or lose, I would be fighting anyway. But I do think we're going to win. I just can't see us being defeated. I think in the end, times will get a lot darker, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. And I think whether I live to see that victory or not is another thing. But we're doing everything we can to red pill enough people that we can achieve that victory. And I think at the moment, the political discourse is waking up more people than ever before. What do you guys think? Will we win?
Yeah.
It's not will we win.
1,000,000%.
We have no choice. We have to win. Everything is at stake. Yeah. The history of our people, the hundreds of years of our past, the splits from Europeans when they went into America, the people we sent over to Australia, the colonization of Canada, everything is at stake and we will win. And it will be like a light switch. Something will happen. All of a sudden, Europeans look around them en masse and shake off this malaise that they found themselves in and take back what's rightfully theirs. And all of this clown world stuff that's just so appalling to everyone will suddenly just seem like a joke. It'll be like stepping on an ant. You'll be like, oh, why was this ever a problem? Why were we letting, you know, racial strangers tell us not to sing songs on our, you know, on patriotic songs and stuff like this? It will all seem like a joke some point down the line, but we're going to have to get there and it's going to be tough. But yes, we will win. We have to.
Yeah, if we fight, we might win. If we don't fight, we've already lost. So there is no choice. Your back's against the wall. You are on death ground. And you need to start acting. It's that simple.
Yeah, I agree. We are definitely going to win. The Groypers are rising. PA are rising. We're being spoke about everywhere at the moment. And we've just got to keep pushing the Overton window in our favour. I think it's looking very positive for us in such gloomy days. But we must keep believing in ourselves. We must keep pushing the right message to the people and keep going on these streams, keep putting our comments across, keep phoning radio stations, keep attending sensible events, forget the marches. We're on the rise, and yeah, so very confident at the moment, very confident.
I agree with what they had to say. You can proceed, brother.
Okay, well, thank you very much. Remember, if you want to leave a super chat or if you want to ask a question, I've posted the Entropy link in the chat now. We also do polls in Entropy, and the current poll is, have you been fondled by Purple Aki? And strangely enough, 50% of those who have participated in the poll claim that they are currently drinking Fanta. So that suggests that we have quite a few scousers in the chat who have been walking around alone at night. So that's good to hear. No, no, the chat, it's gone against it now. 75% of all of a sudden said.
What happens to the scousers in the repatriation plan? Because they're not Irish and not British. What happens?
Well, they're running it, mate. They're running it. So, you know, basically it's up to us who stays.
Yeah, I don't know if you've heard. Charlie's going to be head of security.
Yeah, 1,000,000%. It's the Brummies I'm worried about, mate. I mean, there's the what's the national language in Birmingham at the minute? Urdu.
I think it's Somalian. Urdu, is it? Yeah.
I'm the only Brummie left, mate. I'm the only Brummie left. I'm the only ginger left. So come on, guys. I need your help.
I'm gonna I'll make sure you can stay. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Look, if we win in our lifetime, there has to be a documentary about Chris called The Last Ginger Out of Birmingham. That has to be.
You may proceed.
Thank you, Chris. We've had over 2,000 people watching. We've already hit a high of over 2,000 people. This has been a fantastically watched show. Mr. American Salamander gave £10 and said, highlight of my week. Great stream. Thank you very much, my friend. White Agility gave $5. Just saw a poll on Alt News Media's Twitter account in a pinned tweet that asked, would you like to see the death penalty for Hisham Abadi? Or are you happy with the 55 years? 85.6 voted to hang him high. Lol. Long live PA. Indeed. Indeed. JP gave $10. Thank you very much. And he said, the police won't do their jobs in protecting your neighborhood and dwellings from thugs, but they'll arrest you for defending yourself. I'm sorry to say, but that honorable young man, Kyle Rittenhouse, who had to defend himself in Kenosha last night, was arrested in Illinois just a few hours ago. He might have been arrested, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully he'll get off. And good luck to him. And I'm sure there will be a defense fund for that man. So let's send him good wishes, everyone. Blunderbuss gave $25. Thank you very much. He said, I want an event at Dover that leaves Mike Stutchbury crying for a month. Well, we have been saying that we have a big Dover event planned in the next couple of weeks. People can email me if they want to get involved. We're looking at hanging a sort of 3 meter deep banner off the White Cliffs, you know. So yeah, get in touch if you're up for a banner drop in Dover, and Mike Stutchbury will be crying over our banner, I'm sure. So thank you, Blunderbuss.
You could make Mike Stutchbury cry by taking Grindr down for a month. I mean, it would be that simple, you know, if you wanted to do that.
Mike Stutchbury is a funny guy. He was obsessed with Laura for so long, wasn't he? He was like her official stalker. Very strange, very strange man. I think his obsession with her as well. I think he must have fancied her a little bit, and he was just bitter that she's on the right side and she would never ever touch a creep like him. The Thin Red Line gave $10. Thank you very much. He said, great show. When you are receiving flack, you know you're over the target. Indeed. For Camaraderie gave $5. Thank you very much. He said, Mark, please start Patriotic Alternative merchandise t-shirts, especially. We can sell thousands and help to fund our cause. I really don't like merch, mate. Thanks for the offer. But merch, I don't know. You can donate to PA now, but I always feel a bit dirty pushing merch. They just hate it when somebody appears on the scene and they've done like 3 live streams and they've already got a range of mugs, t-shirts, badges, hats. I don't know. I'm sure there will be in the end.
Ricky Doolin.
Matty, cancel him. Grow up and mugs. Cancel him.
I just ruined Chris's Christmas. Him and Kerry are sat on boxes and boxes of patriotic talk mugs.
Yeah, he wanted to get in the game early, didn't he? Of course he has.
No comment. Proceed.
Martin Morosely gave $3, and it's a question for Charlie. Charlie, the Albion lads are asking if you're working on a night shift whilst doing this stream. Are you monitoring CCTV relay streams in the Spanish warehouse whilst chatting to Mark and the crew?
No, I'm in my son's bedroom. Yeah, we let me give you the tour. I don't know if you can see it. There's the door. I don't want to move it too much in case it unplugs. We have another repeat of the last episodes where I'm cutting out halfway through the stream, but I'm in my lad's bedroom, like this. There's his guitar. I'm not at work, boys.
I must say, Chris. Oh, sorry, not Chris, Sir Charlie. You do look like a handy guy. Have you ever done any combat sports?
I did a bit of boxing in the army. I've trained MMA, but I didn't have any fights, just submission grappling competitions. But since I left the army, I've lost the drive to get in all the time to the gym. I've just been doing the weights, so no MMA anymore, but just weights and stuff like that, and running. Getting back into the running now, just to keep the weight off, especially with this corona.
Can I ask you something, Charlie?
Go on, mate.
If somebody was to get into boxing, do you have any suggestions for YouTube tutorial videos they could watch that could help them into the art?
I can suggest what you shouldn't be watching, and that's over 19 stone.
Some people know what this joke's about. Some people don't. Some people in the chat are smiling. Some people are confused. Some people know what we're talking about. Go and watch the golden one. He's a good egg. Well, go and watch the golden one. That's all. Oh God, the chat now. People know. Thanks for that super chat, Marty. It was very good of you. $3. Thank you, my friend. Eric Haroldson gave £3. Thank you very much. And he said, ask Nasbaz if he still has that Auschwitz lampshade he tried to sell to the LA Holocaust Museum. I might know someone interested.
I actually still do, because we couldn't flog it on the day. We called up the museum in America and asked them if they wanted an authentic Auschwitz lampshade. We found one, and we were trying to sell it, but they didn't want to know. There was just there used to be a group of us, the Albion lads, Hadra and a few other good lads, and we've got there's like a collection of, we just used to sit there. This is why on the show on the Thursdays now with Chris and Natty, we're doing mad calls. We're just calling like random places, usually takeaways, because they're open 24 hours a day. But we've got a big back catalogue of what we used to do for them. I think we were at it for about 2 years. Once every week, we'd get about 40 people in the chat, and we'd all just be calling up places. Do you know what I mean? There's like a big back catalogue of our calls, and one of them was to try and sell an official Auschwitz lamp that didn't exist, but we did find one, and we did try and sell it. Yeah, unfortunately, they weren't interested.
Charlie, we've got to try that tomorrow. We've got to try to sell that tomorrow.
That's the thing. You can only call the places that are open, so that's why we're always calling takeaways. But in America, it's a different time zone, so you can call there. But you've got it. It's Bruce D's on the phone, though. It does cost a bit, like.
So basically, anybody in the chat tonight who thought optics was important, we have now lost forever. That is it. This show's gone off the rails, man.
The first thing I show, you'll see what optics is all about.
This is why we haven't had these guys on up until now. I was warned about this.
You've got to have a laugh. Come on.
Yeah, you've got to
be serious.
Honestly, this show, we've still got half an hour left, and I'm honestly, this has been an amazing show. Respawn gave £10. Thank you very much, my friend. And he said, Mark Collett and Laura Towell are doing great work. PA plan for all of Europe. Thank you very much, my friend. So that's the super chat. And we've got some questions. We're going to do the questions in the order that they have been voted up. Rory Herbert asked the best voted question of the night. And if you want to ask a question or if you want to send a super chat, you still can. The link is in the live chat now. Rory Herbert said, what's your opinion on the Gerard Batten poll result? Well, I'm going to be a little bit consolatory to Gerard Batten. I think Gerard Batten, he's certainly not the enemy, but he's still one of those people who is trying to convince himself that this all can be done by looking at who's waving their little plastic flag in the most furious and enthusiastic manner. He still thinks that we can go out there and win by avoiding being called racist. And if we play the systems game and say it's about culture and ways of life, and if we say that if you've got Britain in your heart, then that's all that matters. But I think deep down he knows. The only thing that really disgusts me about Gerard Batten, and as I said, I don't dislike the guy. I don't think he's a totally lost cause. But one thing that does disgust me, if Gerard Batten was a 29-year-old guy with a beautiful 26-year-old wife and three kids, and he worked for British Gas or some telecom company, and if he came out and really dropped the red pills, he was going to lose everything, and his missus would be in tears, and his kids wouldn't eat at night, and he could lose everything. I'd be like, well, Gerard, you've not told the total truth, but I kind of get why. Because you're not in a position where you can, and you don't want to lose your job, and you've got your missus and your kids. But Gerard Batten, what is he? In his 60s, early 70s, late 60s, early 70s? And he's made hundreds of thousands, potentially more, potentially seven figures in total from his time in the European Parliament. Definitely seven figures in total if you count up his wages and the expenses he'll have claimed. This guy is at the end of his life. He's made a huge amount of money over his life. He'll be on a fat European Parliament pension for till the end of his days. He doesn't have to worry about losing anything. The only thing he has to worry about is having a few people who hate him already tut a little bit louder. You know, at that point in your life, you either go out as a hero like Ursula Haverbeck and say, I've got a few years left. I'm just going to tell the truth as it is and sod the consequences. I've done everything I need to do. Or you prove to the world that you really don't have the guts. And Gerard, although I don't really, you know, he's a hard guy to hate. You know, I see the positives in him and he's pushed discourse in a direction that's positive. But God, at that point in his life with the money he's got, and the pension he's on, he should just come out all guns blazing and tell it how it is. What do you guys think?
Gerard Batten, I've met him a couple of times. Nice man. But I think what a lot of the problems he's probably having is the fact that he has cooks and he's going out with an Asian woman. I think that's probably a lot. But I felt he was turning the tide because I noticed that he was sharing a lot of your work, Mark. So I thought we did put pressure on him. I know the heart of I got in there and got him an interview. He stayed on the Civic Nationalist train. There's not much I can say. Like, I could have, I don't know how far I could have went. I could have remained on the Tommy train. Who knows? Like, they were talking about, well, I had an interview planned with Tommy Robinson, and then it was rearranged for after you got him out of prison. But I was, obviously, I had the interview with you, and that jeopardised everything. But who knows how far I could have went in terms of earning money, into lying to our people. And no money can convince me, or any lifestyle can convince me to lie to our people. I'm here for my people. I'm here to try and make sure the British people are aware that we are due to be a minority unless things change. That's why I'll continually push patriotic alternative. And it's a shame with Gerard, and I think what the Groypers will continually do is to push Gerard Batten for a decent conversation with not only yourself or Laura. I know you're the scary Nazi, Mark, so maybe Laura might be the best person to try and push, but even that, I don't think it's going to happen. But if the Groypers and anyone that's not a Groyper or doesn't like the Groypers, please push Gerard Batten to have a sensible conversation with either Mark or Laura. Over to anyone else.
Yeah, just quickly, Gerard Batten absolutely understands racial politics. Exactly the same as the like I said earlier, the Conservatives fielding Sean Bailey, UKIP standing black, you know, MPs in London boroughs. There is no question that Gerard Batten understands racial politics, okay? But again, demonstrated, clear and plain for everyone to see, if it's white people, no, we don't have that. But when it's the other way around, for anyone else, they get it as much as he likes. So yeah, it's unfortunate that he's taken this false stance, because once again, it's anti-truth and it's anti-white.
I just love it when these like your Farages or your Battens, I love it when they ask the British public a question and the British public give them the real answer, and they don't like it because they always fall into the trap. Do you want this lovely multicultural dream that we've carefully crafted for you, or do you want to be a horrible racist than the British public? If you ask them individually, they'll all capitulate, but when you're allowed to vote anonymously on a poll, people will tell you the truth every time. So keep asking these questions, keep asking the British public, because we are the British public, and people are very, they're not as scared as they used to be. There's certainly a shift coming now, definitely. I can feel it. People are just like, you know, I'm hearing things like, that town's lost. The country's gone. It's not the same. And people know exactly what they mean when they say these things. So the zeitgeist, the public consciousness is shifting 1,000,000%. So keep asking us these questions and we'll keep giving you the correct answer.
Right, well, and as I said, that's not an attack on Gerard Batten. He should come and speak to me. He should speak to Laura. We'd be happy to talk to him. We all know Hearts of Oak is a complete joke. I mean, the fact that Ricky Doolan does some kind of karaoke guitar sing-along for them tells you all you need to know. We've got another couple of super chats. Damien Demento gave £5 and said, thank you very much. He said, who was the best UK radio Groyp? So we'll give that over to you three. Natty first, then Chris, then Charlie. Who was your favourite Groyp so far?
Well, there's been quite a few for me. I've got to say, groping Sheila Fogarty is hilarious because she's so stupid and fat. It's quite easy just to tear her apart. But it's not for me to say which one my favourite is. I mean, obviously someone else can tell you. But yeah, Sheila Fogarty is just such a soft, pudgy, easy target. So no question.
Yeah, he didn't want to mention anyone else's groups. He said, yeah, well, groping Sheila Fogarty is great. We're not going to mention any caller that's made a groip, because actually, I know I am the king of the groiper. You know, what an absolute... Sorry for my language there, Mark. I was going to recommend Matt's groips as being fantastic, but after that egotistical comment...
I didn't mention my own gripes. This is scandalous. I can't believe what I'm hearing.
Yeah, but you didn't pick anyone else's gripe. You just said, well, I can't pick from my... I can't pick the best one out of my best gripes. Well, someone else will have to pick it. Jesus,
well, you know, what can I say? I'm like Narcissus, boys. It's all about me. I'm taking over Patriarch Talk soon. Give it a couple of months.
Well, the best one that you did, Natty, the best one you did for me... It had been stitches for days. I've been showing everyone. Was the one that when you called up the radio station and they were talking about who just killed themselves, that bird, Caroline Flack.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She just killed herself. And you called the radio station and you said, and they were doing like a women's hour thing. And they said, we're talking about people committing suicide and blah, blah, blah. And Caroline Flack and this. And we want to hear your stories. And you called up and went to him. Well, look, I want to talk about something that's very similar. It's the collective suicide of the European people. They've been propagandized against themselves, and now they're letting all these other races into the country, and they're slowly becoming a minority, and that soon committing collective suicide, and soon they'll cease to exist. And the bird just didn't know what to say. She was going, it's not the shame, it's not the shame. Well, that was the funniest one for me. That's still out there now. You can listen to that on the Groybar archive. Can't believe no one's mentioned my Farage one.
Since you've given me that, I was going to say your Farage one was absolutely top notch. Yeah, your Farage one. At the end,
where
he kind of starts. It's at the end where you drop it, and he realizes at the end, but it's too late. You've already said it, and he starts trying to cut you off, and he's like, "We want to make this, you know, multicultural. We're going to sacrifice our children on the altar of multiculturalism." That's when the penny dropped for him, and he's like, "Oh, I'm not having any more of this."
He was talking up a bilge. Yeah, and Natty, thing brought about Charlie and Lafarge, one of my favourite gripes. Every griper that's taken part, though, they deserve credit. My personal favourite is probably acting Nelson, the most typical Jamaican brummy ever. So that's my favourite.
Yeah, there's one where you rang in as Nelson, and you machine gunned off about 300 talking points in 30 seconds. And by the end of it, the guy was like, the host was laughing, going, "Oh, well done. I think you've just done something here." But within about 30 seconds, you had Minority, you had PA in there, you had Laura Towers, We Were Never Asked. You just crammed it all in. It just some crazy outburst of words. It was so that was a pleasure to listen to as well.
Mark, before we move on, I want to ask Jason's opinion. Whose groypers are better, the UK groypers or Fuentes groypers, from that what you know of?
Well, clearly from what is more, not only making a point, but also making a comedic point, it's the UK
groypers. Groypers are all in the chat, guys. Over to Mark if he wants to speak. I don't know if it's his show or not, but
right, Chris. Chris is getting very cheeky tonight. His potato connection could give out at any point, so beware. Eric Harrelson said, "L5 alive, people. Choose a life, not a knife." Thank you.
Does anyone else other than me know what that's in relation to?
I know what it's about. I know what it's about.
You actually heard of the guy? No way. Crazy. No way. I don't think it's worth going into on the stream. He's just a lunatic from Liverpool who, that's basically it. He's a lunatic from Liverpool.
Well, thank you for the super chat, Eric. That's very generous of you. We've got another question here. This is from Rory London, and this is a very good question, but we'll try and wrap it up as quickly as we can because I haven't got a huge amount of time left. But Rory London said, "What do you think should be done to get foreign aliens out of the delusion that they are British and reconnect them with their own cultures so they wish to return to their homelands?" Now, I'm going to answer that first, and then we'll go around the group. These people are connected to their own culture. When you ask people of foreign descent or people who are not of European descent specifically what they are, they will always identify with their own culture, but they will say they are British. They never say they're English. They don't say they're Scottish. They don't say they're Welsh. They don't say they're Irish. They tend to say they're British, because the problem with Britain as an identity is you can be a British citizen. You can't be an English citizen. You're either English, which means you're English, like me, you are ethnically English, because there is no English passport, but there is a British passport, there is British citizenship. And more ethnic minorities do actually identify with being British, because the British state puts them first. The British state gives them citizenship. The British state acknowledges them. And that is why it is so important for us as ethno-nationalists to make the distinction between British citizens and the indigenous people of these islands, who are English, Northern Irish, Scottish, and Welsh. It's why ethnicity matters, and it's why we're clear on what white British actually means. White British means that you are of indigenous descent. And whereas somebody can claim to be British because they have citizenship, and legally, if you have citizenship, you can state that you are in some way British. These people can never be indigenous. They can never be English. They can never be Scottish. They can never be Welsh. They can never be indigenous from Northern Ireland. And that's something that we must always push. We must push this distinction, and we must essentially draw the line between people who actually have ancestral claim to these islands and people who simply have a passport and suckle at the teat of the British state, but have really nothing in common with the people who whose ancestors built these islands and built this civilization. What do you think about this?
When I was in Birmingham, I was working with everyone, Jamaicans, Indians, a lot of them born here, and they always class themselves as Jamaican or Indian. Obviously, they're only saying they're British because the British are giving them the most money, they're giving them houses, they're giving them a great life here. That's the only way they can, and by paper, obviously, they are, that's what they can class themselves as British. But if those countries in India would offer the same benefits as what Birmingham did or Jamaica, or as what England did or Great Britain, they'd be straight back off home. They're only here for the benefits of our country that we're giving them to. So shame on those people at the top for giving it them as well. So, yeah, that's my fault.
Yeah, the question was slightly flawed because it's not the BAME people, it's not all these foreigners who need to be convinced that they're not British. It's our own people. It's the native British who need to be disabused of the lie that they do identify as British, because they clearly don't. So that's how the question's kind of coming at it from the wrong angle. But yeah.
Better unmute myself before I start speaking. Let them come to terms with it when they're either on the flight or when they've landed. That's not my problem. So, sorry. That's it sounds like your problem to me. They can deal with their existential crisis in their own time, in their own countries, and, you know, figure out your own identity and all the rest of it. I know mine. I'm happy with mine. Thank you very much.
Well said. Here's the thing that actually drives me insane about this sort of conversation, especially with these CivNet abstractionist types. And all abstractionism is it's focused on eradicating us as a people. They know very well, like this Ricky guy that debated Laura, was horribly defeated by her. They know very well who is white and who can be white and who can create British culture, who can create the United States. Why? Because culture is a projection of a people's biospirit. If the influence of the white population in the UK was removed from the non-white population in the UK, in very swift order, the manifestation of culture would switch from whatever it was, say it was primarily Indian in area, and it would become Indian right away. For a bit of time, there would be some vestiges of maybe a Union Jack color here or there, or some sort of symbolism here or there, but they recreate. We see the same thing in every single group of people across the planet. When Asians become numerically superior in a place in the United States or elsewhere, they build that numerical confidence that we talk about. They then project their biospirit, and collective biospirit is culture. Where else does it come from? Why is it that white people all over the world have Western culture? Is it because there's a culture fairy that decides wherever white people go, the culture fairy is just going to dip Western culture on them, or wherever blacks go, it'll be black culture that the culture fairy dips on them? No, it comes from somewhere. It's the instinct of the animal. And so that is why when areas, once the group has a numerical confidence in a or numerical courage in a specific area, they begin to project their biosphere, that projection in collective is culture. That's why the people in these countries, but by the way, this is something important and we have to be careful about these conversations, that yes, you can have a non-white person in a Western country that can, if you ask them, they'll say, well, yeah, I'm Indian, for example, but if it will suit them in a particular conversation, in a particular argument, they'll say they're British. They'll say they're whatever they need to say. If they're a paper Brit or a paper American or whatever it might be, they'll say they are that if it suits them. So this Ricky guy, for example, would he, for all of the argument that he made against Laura, would he say to an Asian person born in the UK, if that Asian person says that they are Asian or they are Chinese because genetically that's what they are, would he deny them that identity? Hell no, he wouldn't. He would say, okay, well, yes, you're that and you're British because you were born here, you know, and you're a citizen or whatever because you have the proper papers. But he will deny that identity to white people. He will deny that that culture that is created by our biospirit comes from anywhere other than who and what we are, as though it could be maintained or recreated by any other group of people. He would also deny that we would have the ability, and this is the one place where he would be correct, that we would have the ability to recreate Chinese culture, or we would have the ability to recreate Indian culture, or we would have the ability to create and maintain Black culture. So they know very well what they're talking about. There is no way for one of these people to be a British. I have a British in me because I am a Westman. A Polish person, a Russian person, as a Westman with the biospirit of the West in them, has the ability to create that culture and maintain that culture into infinity. Non-white people, no matter how nice they are, no matter how many generations they spend here, no matter how many Union Jacks they fly, could never recreate or maintain. Doesn't mean they're bad people. Doesn't mean they can't serve in our military. Doesn't mean they can't be patriotic. Doesn't mean they can't be law-abiding and tax-paying citizens. They certainly can be. But they cannot recreate what they are not, just as we cannot recreate what we are not.
Well, thank you. We have had another super chat, again, from For Camaraderie. He gave $3. Thank you very much. He said, don't underplay patriotic T-shirts, Mark. I'm getting my own made, which means there is a market for them. Funds, brother. Well, thank you very much. Maybe send a picture of it when you've had it made. I hope you look good in it, my friend. We have a question here from Britain at Adam, who said, thoughts on the pride train that was in the news this week, a fully painted diversity flag and LGBT crew only. Well, what do you guys think of the Pride train? Have you heard about this? I'm just flashing up a news story here. UK's first Pride train staffed by all LGBT plus crew makes its first journey. The 265-metre-long train is filled with literature, stories and colourful posters and will feature Pride-related information and fun facts during the onboard announcement. Train manager Paul Austin said, this is about being accepted for who I am and representing the LGBT plus community we serve across our network. Our Pride train has just departed for its first official journey from London Euston to Manchester Piccadilly. The train is serviced by our full LGBT plus crew, creating not just a Pride train, but a Pride experience. I think, doesn't plus in LGBTQ plus include like paedophiles and people who are into bestiality? Does that mean like one of the carriages is going to feature unthinkable horrors? I mean, this is just absolutely grotesque, a complete waste of money. And it just makes you want to see Avanti West Coast just out of business, doesn't it? It makes you want to see this virtue signaling company just on the rocks of complete ruin. But do you guys have any takes on this? I mean, obviously it is repulsive, but does anyone have anything to add?
Yeah, first of all, thank you for not scrolling down further, Chris, because we might see Charlie doing his model pictures outside that train. So thank you for that, Mark. But yeah, it's absolutely embarrassing, isn't it, that we are parading LGBT plus trains across our nation now. Imagine a pro-white one, the rubbish that we would have. I'm surprised they haven't done a pro-Black Lives Matter train yet at the moment. That'll probably come next, of course. But yeah, very embarrassing. Yeah, that's all I've got to say. I just wanted to let that little joke about Charlotte.
Trains and nationalism go together 100%. trains are nationalist. There's no question about it. So to see a pride train is a spit in the face to all proud nationalists.
How could you take any of your family members on that train? How could you take your son or your daughter on a train like that and come on, let's go out for the day? For what? To look at what did it say? They've got information on LGBTQ lifestyles or something in the pamphlets. What? I mean, there's a special type of person that actually takes the kids and wants to participate in things like this, mate, and they're not us. So leave them to it. Let them have the pride train. I can't see any person in the right mind getting on that train.
Well, hopefully we might run into a train streamer on one of the Thursday night train streams who's riding in the Pride Express, and we can go and get in his chat and have a chat with him. So keep your eye out for that, lads.
I think we've said that we really, as far as service to white well-being, except with the exception of anything dealing with children or animals, any sort of abuse like that is repulsive. But I think we've said before that if somebody does something in their bedroom that we're not terribly interested, what matters for us in service to white well-being is the maintenance of our people, recapturing of our destiny, and the reclaiming of our civilization. This, of course, is a great example of when a community of individuals who have a particular attraction, and some of them have been weaponized against Western kind and Western civilization, and they've confused who and what they are with a particular fantasy or particular attraction, and that becomes their identity, and then it becomes a tool for the destruction of our people and civilization. And this is just another step in the direction of normalizing not an attraction which is stems from whatever for these individuals, and whatever they do in their bedroom is their thing, but is a normalizing a means of destroying Western kind and Western civilization. And I just have to wonder, this train, I mean, is it shaped like some sort of sex toy? And I wonder if it's bound for that city in the UK, Manhole, or Manchester is what it's called, Manchester. That's where the train would be at.
Manhole.
Well, we do have one last super chat. Alex May gave $10, thank you very much, and said, if Pakistani Brits are still British, why are they still celebrating Pakistani Independence Day on the streets of Britain? Exactly. These people don't identify as British in any meaningful way. They just hold British passports. The fact is they are not indigenous, and they do not wish to adopt the ways of the indigenous people. They are here for our money. That is why they're here for an easy life, and they import their culture to the exclusion of ours. Well, that about brings us to the end of the show. But before we do the outros, remember, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m., massive announcement for myself and Laura Towler. Be there on our Twitter accounts, on our Facebook. That is going to be big. But I must say, it has been a very funny show. It's been a high-energy show, and it has been very, very enjoyable evening. So, guys, whilst I open the lemon chest, would the guys from Patriotic Talk like to give themselves an outro?
Hello, yeah, I'll start the outros.
Oh, his connection must have given out.
Oh, what a shame, you know, what a perfect time for him to drop out. You know, just Mark, just as you thought, you know, Chris was going to get through a whole stream without any connection issues. It comes to the last 2 minutes and he drops out like that.
I know, it's amazing. He just disappeared. I think he's back now, mate. I think Kerry must have turned the Hoover on or something, and it shorted out his router. He's back again.
Oi, that's so unprofessional. That is so unprofessional. I was booted out of the chat. Mark, I'm so sorry. This is why you should not follow Patriotic Alternative. They boot you out of the chats as you're about to make your final emotional speech. But yeah, I'll go again if I'm not off topic. But honestly, thank you to the audience first and foremost. Mark, Colette, No White Girl, Jason, thank you. I hope Jason comes on Patriotic Talk Show soon. If you can answer shortly, much appreciated. I might have the banter with Natty and Charlie. And Mark as well, and Jason, but all these guys have been brilliant and phenomenal in my personal life as well. that have been there for me through such tough days. So, guys, these really are the people you need to be following. Take it from me. I've been down the Tommy route. I've been down so many routes. I've had so many threats against me. But these guys have really kept me to get my mind together, and I can't thank them enough. So the banter will come tomorrow from 8 till 10 o'clock, the Groiper Show, 7 till 9, Patriotic Talk Show on Mondays, on D-Live, and then Daughter of Albion will be doing the extra show 9 till 10, we guess. But again, guys, thank you ever so much for allowing us on the stream, and I hope you all have a blessed week and weekend.
Thank you, mate. Natty, Charlie, would you like to say the last few words very quickly before we pass over to Jason?
Thank you very much.
Yeah, come on, mate. Go on, mate.
No, go on. No, that's it. I'm just going to say thanks. Thanks for letting me on the show.
Yeah, come and watch us on Patriotic Talk on the Monday and on the Thursday. We do like the banter show. But yeah, it's not like serious. It's just a bit of a laugh. So don't expect too much.
Well, thank you, guys. It's been amazing having you on. It's long overdue. It's been an incredible show. Jason, thank you, my friend. Can you give yourself an outro and tell us who's on tap?
NoWineGuild.org. Over on the No Wine Guild channel, we have the great James Edwards at noon Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. We hope to see you all there. It's been a fantastic time with Patriotic Talk, and I will be happy to appear with you all, and I pass it back to you, brother.
Thank you very much. Well, don't forget, 9 a.m. tomorrow morning on Twitter and Facebook, myself and Laura are going to be making a big announcement. This will be followed by a special show here on Friday night at 7 p.m. UK time. Keep your eyes peeled for all of this. Make sure you are there when we make the announcement. I think everyone's going to be very happy. And that just leaves me to say the thank yous. Thank you to Chris. Thank you to Natty. Thank you to Charlie. You do amazing work. You are absolute pillars of this community. It's been amazing having you on. A genuinely fun show. I think the audience has loved it as well. Nearly 2,100 people watching. Incredible. Thank you as ever to Jason. It's always a pleasure working with you. And also, thank you so much to everyone who donated so generously. Those donations are always go to a good cause. They were always used for something important. So thank you so much for being so generous. But as always, the biggest thank you goes to this community. Nearly 2,100 people watching live. This is why we do this. Building this community has been so amazing. It is so important. It is so long overdue. This is how we save our country. This is how we save our people. Thank you so much. I love you all, and I'll see you same time next week. But do not forget, 9 a.m. tomorrow and Friday, 7 p.m. UK time. Myself and Laura, massive announcement tomorrow. Thank you so much. Have a great night. Stay safe, guys.